But your battery needs to pray, please.
There
Heavenly
we go.
Father, well, happy birthday. But your battery needs to pray, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you today just thanking you so much for a place to meet, people to preach to, people to be edified, and saints to be saved. It's not saints, but people to be saved. And we just thank you for this place, with the people that are here, and the power of God and the salvation, which is the gospel of the grace of God. We just thank you so much for Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross for us to take all of our sins away. It's left up to us to trust that fact in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, you know, I've had this service, if you recall, prepared. I've had a few notes here, and then landed for about 3 weeks. And then last night, I was going over some stuff, and I said, well, I think I'm going to start off with that. Well, Dave Meyer started off with it.
That's okay. There you go.
Ain't that wonderful? It really is. How about going to 2 Corinthians? Chapter 5. We're going to start in verse... I think I'm going to start in verse 14. And you know, while we have here, people are familiar in the denominational systems and churches of the Great Commission, aren't they? Well, that word's not even in the Bible. So, it's a man-made tradition. Jewish fables come into play also, but it's a man-made tradition. Go out and preach the gospel to all the world. Well, that was true, but it's not to us. Different dispensation. Where's the dispensation of the grace of God? So, I want to start here. This is, if there's a so-called Great Commission, this is a greater so-called Great Commission. Okay? And this is our walking orders right here in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Everybody is under sin. Not a soul left out. So he died, and he did die on Calvary's cross for all people, for sins. All sins. Look at it. But all were dead. They're dead now. You're born that way. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Live unto Jesus Christ. God was in Christ. And we're going to see all this later. And I want you to really pay attention to verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, from this point on, is what it means, know we no man after the flesh. Why do you want to go out there and say, what did Jesus do? You wear the bracelets and the necklaces and all of those kind of things. What would Jesus do? Well, in this dispensation, Jesus would tell you to follow the Apostle Paul. Because he gave him all the revelations that he needed from heaven. Not when he was walking around down here on the face of the earth as he did the 12 apostles. It's a heavenly revelation. And I see this passed around. Please sign this card. I want to take that one out. This is for Richard Garvey. And I forgot it, and I'm glad I saw it. We need to be praying for Richard Garvey. He had a stroke Monday was a week ago. And he's now in West Florida Hospital in rehab. I think he's in like 1269. He's in the... I think that's where he's at. But you can ask the directory. And Mary's with him constantly. She just give out. So if you get an opportunity, stop in and see Richard. But more of all, the people that are saving here, continue to pray for Richard and Mary, because this is a family affair when one gets sick. It really is.
Pray for Carol, too.
And my wife, yes, absolutely. I mean, she's not doing very well. And what's that lady's name you went to stay with? Ruby. Miss Ruby's 101. Good mind and everything else. There's some turmoil, some things taking place in her family that needs to be prayed about. Let the Lord's will be done in this. That's what I'll say. Mm-hmm. Okay, now back into the scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, from this point on, know we no man after the flesh. We don't know Jesus Christ after the flesh. When he was walking around down here, you see everything in red letters in your Bible. That's Christ speaking. But the fact of it is, we're not to follow that. But if you see it in Romans 2, 5, then we are to follow that. And there's a couple of letters, a couple of words I've said, in red, in Romans 2, 5. But what I see is anything that come out of the mouth of Paul came directly from the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, Yet now henceforth from there, this moment on, know we him no more. We don't know him anymore after he was walking around down here. We know him as he is our risen Savior. Now what do I mean by that? Well, Dave done an excellent job covering this this morning, but the fact is, we're just going to reiterate most of all these things. And the fact is, Christ died for our sin. He was buried, and he was resurrected or raised, however you want to say it, from the dead on the third day to justify you, to clear you from all sin. But now there's something that's omitted, and we're going to go back into Romans here, and you're going to see something is not written down in here. And you'll have people say, well, all you do is just believe that. Well, you can believe the whole Bible, and you should. You should really pay attention to what the Apostle Paul says, because in Romans 11, 13, it says, Paul is your apostle, and he magnifies his office, not himself anymore. So, I want to touch bases with that. But verse 17, let's read it, 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, let's stop that. How do you get in Christ? You trust the gospel that is hope. That's called the gospel of the grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor, something you do not even deserve. And God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. So you don't deserve anything. Actually, you deserve hell. And so do I. But by the grace of God, we're saved eternally. Oh, my goodness gracious. I look at myself and I know you're the same. Maybe not bad, but you're all sinners that I'm looking at in the flesh right now. For everybody, if you're saved, you're still a sinner in the flesh. And I'm looking at you. I know the stuff runs through your mind because it runs through mine. And you go, say, well, Pastor, I didn't know you thought those things. Oh, yeah, I did think so. I got it from Dave Bond.
That's where it originated from.
Just sold me out.
I know what.
Wind didn't help me. He added to it. Even our good man over here, Ricky, he made his brick in that wall. How can you get in Christ? Dave Carlin, you trust. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. The same gospel that Paul trusted. And he stood in it. And we stand in it. So we're secure. What is that? Again, Christ died for our sins. He was buried and raised from the dead on the third day to justify you. And the Bible says, when you trust that, you are in Christ. But what happens during this time period? In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, the Holy Spirit, one of the Trinity, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes you. Now, baptism is not water in this case. It's an identification. But even when Jesus Christ was baptized in water, what did that do? Did that wash away Christ's sin?
He had no sin.
He had no sin. So why was he baptized? Identification is what that means. I saw a preacher out the other day say that means baptism means immersion. I don't believe that. It's an identification. Christ was baptized because he was identified with the nation of Israel. And he had to be a priest and he had to be baptized at age 30 to become a priest for the nation of Israel. So, we got that out of the way. But the thing is, we are baptized by one of the Trinity. And that's what it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's a spiritual, invisible body. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. You just can't. And as Dave, I like Dave's chart. That's why I left it up here. I do it. Whatever you call this, laying down.
Yeah, horizontal.
But this I like. This is in Christ right here.
I thought it was
sinful. It's not.
And sprinkles.
It could even border on pornography.
sleep with them.
Tell me, y'all. If you can't see it, I'm not going to be
sorry.
I told you what was on the man's mind. Rub it off. But,
it's actually a pizza. That's his prerogative.
But we're here. We're over here. And sometimes we're here in the will of the Father. But most of the time, we're not in the will of the Father. I think a tear's kind of coming. But to be in Christ means we trusted the gospel. And once we trusted God, we know Christ died for our sin. But he covered it in 1 Corinthians, in Colossians 1:13. We have forgiveness of sins. But he died for the world's sins.
All sin. Yeah.
All sin and sins. All of creation. But that didn't save you. And I'm going to cover that a little further as we get down in here. He is a new creature. We are become new creatures in Christ. It's a spiritual being. And as he said, we're sitting on the right hand side of the Father with Jesus Christ. Because we're in Jesus Christ. That's where he's at. There's scriptures to back all of this up, okay? All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. You got that? It didn't come from Allah or nowhere else, or Buddha or nothing like that. It's of God. God Almighty, all powerful, all knowing, who hath reconciled us. Reconciled is past tense. To himself by Jesus Christ. He brought us back in favor. In other words, right here it tells us, are there some things omitted here? You have to know more than one scripture to be saved, I believe. Or somebody can just tell you the gospel, which I did, and you can trust it. You don't even have to have a Bible.
That's true.
But who hath reconciled, found favor. We now have found favor with God. Well, the way I see it is we found favor only when we trust the gospel. Because if you're not saved in here, you might think you're saved because somebody told you to walk the aisle for Jesus, confess your sins, repent, and be baptized. Well, you're lost without what you trusted. You're going to hell. I don't care how good you are. Where have you been? What preacher? And how big a denominational church he was in that told you that? How many books you read? Tommy Ice can't help save you. I don't know if you know who that is, but who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. In other words, he put us back in favor where we can actually trust Jesus because sin's not a problem anymore. But we don't have forgiveness of sins until we trust that he really did it for us personally. Not a national salvation like Israel kind of, but Jerry can only trust for himself. He can't trust for Jim. Jim can't trust for me. You can't trust for your spouse, your nephew, your niece, your daughter, your son. It just can't happen. You've got to, a person's got to do it for themselves. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jim?
You cannot reconcile yourself.
You know.
There's only one that can reconcile you. That's God through Christ Jesus. That's the only reconciliation that exists.
Listen. Thank you. And continue with this. And have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I want us to go over to Colossians 1:20. Hold on here. We're coming right back. Then I'll get my notes. I hope. I really hope so. 1:20. Colossians 1:20. Paul wrote this. This is a prison epistle. He wrote it when he was in prison. And, Paul writes, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Well, there's what we're doing. That's true. But you have to trust the gospel to get that peace. Because in Romans 5:1 it says, after you've trusted the gospel, you realize you've been justified. You now have peace with God. You can relax. I'm going to tell you in here for everybody concerned and those listening to us out there on the videos, if you don't have peace of knowing where you're going when you die, you're lost. If you're asking for forgiveness, you're lost because you've never trusted the gospel. Why would you ask for forgiveness when you said you died for everything you've ever done and will do? I shall reproach upon Almighty God. Now, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, brought it back so we could trust in what Christ did. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. There's no one that cannot be saved. No one. For the will of the Father is that all men be saved. I don't mean he's going to make it happen. That's his wish. And for day was coming, as he was teaching, coming unto the knowledge of the truth. We hear Scripture over and over. And the reason you do is somebody in here right now is thinking about buying a car or something. You're not listening. They may have been here for the first service and heard it. Your mind is wandering. That's why we do these things over and over and over. You know what I'm saying?
Says, how'd you know?
Let's move on. Romans, hold on your credit now. Romans chapter 5. This is a pre-prison epistle. Happened during the book of Acts. And I want to back up here in Romans chapter 5, and I want to start. Let me see. Verse 8. Romans 5, 8. But God. Woo! Powerful. But God. But now. Listen to those when it says, but. Something's changed. God commended his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's no way you're going to stop sinning. That's why the Bible says in Romans 6:11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed also unto sin. You reckon 2 plus 2 is 4, don't you? Can you prove that? No, you
can't. I
know what I'm thinking. 2? What? Who says this is 1?
I said the same thing.
This could be 4 for all I know. But we reckon it to be 1. Reckon it to be 2. So we had these 2 and these 2. We reckon it to be 4. He said, reckon yourselves to be dead. The only way you can stop sinning is to die. Dead men don't sin. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready to die?
I still want this roller coaster.
You got a bucket list.
I'm not ready. A little bit more.
See, people think what they're looking for in religion, and we're non-religious. What people are looking for in religion is a safe way to know that they're saved and continue to do what they're doing as long as they can confess and do something to help the Lord.
Wow.
Well, you can't do anything to help the Lord. He's done it all.
Yes, come on now.
If he didn't, he died in vain.
Amen.
Just died in vain.
Amen.
But we have to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed also in the sin. Recognize the fact that you're not always going to be in the will of the Father. You're going to slip out, slip over. Yeah, absolutely. I do it all the time, and I'm not proud of it. I'm not bragging about it. I just know human nature. I know who and what we are. We're no good. We needed a Savior. Verse 9 of Romans 5. Much more then, being now, what's that word? Justified, cleared of all sins, past, present, and future, till the day you die, by His blood. Well, that sounds like when Jesus bled out on the cross, did that save you? By His blood. By His death. Well, that didn't get the job done.
That's right.
You have to trust the gospel. You have to apply that blood. Not literally, as I've talked about last week in Exodus 12. You don't have to apply it like the Jews had to when the death angel come over. You just trust the gospel of the grace of God. Trust it. I've already told you twice, or maybe 3 times already in the last 15 minutes, what it was. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. We're not going to go through any wrath. Now, well, I don't call wrath as big whenever I had squamous cell cancer. You're worried about diet and you're doing this, and you're worried about your family and all that last year, or if you've got some terminal illness here, then that's not the wrath he's talking about. You're going to go through wrath here. Everybody does. But the wrath he's talking about is the tribulation and any kind of eternal damnation. We're not going to go through that if you're saved. And that's the whole purpose of us preaching today, twofold again. That all men be saved, mankind, ladies, don't get upset, and come into the knowledge of the truth, for saints to be edified. And verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, you were born an enemy, we were reconciled, brought back to favor to God by the death of His Son. This ain't nothing about forgiveness of sins there. We brought back to favor. Where sin is not a problem as long as we trust the gospel of the grace of God. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We shall be saved by His life. He overcame death.
Yes.
And if you don't believe that, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 50 to the end of the chapter. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Look, I want to make a point here, and it's probably ruffle some of the grace preachers' feathers throughout the world, but I don't care. It says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. By His blood, verse 9, being reconciled, in verse 10, does that mean we've now received our atonement? No. You have to trust the gospel. It didn't mention the gospel there, did it? You have to trust the gospel of the grace of God, or you have no atonement. Now, that's what I'm saying. You've got to read more than one scripture if you're going to study this Bible. You can't just read, well, you could, but the odds are, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, if you know nothing about anything else Paul wrote, unless the Holy Spirit right there saves you, you're going to have to read a lot. You put scriptures together. And this is why we get together. We have fellowship with each other. You know, a lot of times, most of the time, after the class is over here, or the church service for the assembly, there's three or four of us that stay in here. Ain't that right, Scott? We stay in here for a couple hours sometime, and we talk about scriptures, and we can learn from each other. We can disagree on certain things, but as Dave said, you never can disagree on the gospel of your salvation. Either you have it or you don't. You're either eternally secure or you're going to hell. You're lost. And I don't care when you thought you got saved. If you think you've done something to please the Lord, you didn't. The only thing that pleases the Lord is you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it. Now, wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, verse 12, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, it just tells you, Adam sinned, and it was passed upon all mankind. Well, it just told me I had my atonement, didn't it? No, it didn't. It says we have now received our atonement. But you don't receive that atonement until you trust what Christ did. Because now he's telling you you're a sinner. I think that's significant. Back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God. You got that? Everything. Good, bad, you name it. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled to God. We found favor with God. Or at least he found favor with us to bring us back. Sin is not the problem anymore. In other words, you can trust in what Jesus Christ did. That takes care of your everything. Your eternal life is a done deal. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. And he was reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Wow. I'm going to skip that rest of it until I come back to it in just a moment. So I want you to see that I'm talking about myself, and I'm talking about every saved person in here. I am secure in Christ. Can you say that earnestly, meaning that? If you can't, you're lost. I will tell you, I told Dave before we started searching. I said, Dave, on Facebook this week, excuse me, I had this woman out there, and she had about 600 different entries. And she lost. And I asked her simply, I said, I think you may be lost. Would you post the scriptures to tell me that you're saved? Simple. Ain't it? She come back, she said, I've got over 613 or something like that entries in my post here. Read all of those. I'm sealed. Well, she don't have a clue. Now, when somebody asks me, are you saved? Are you going to get offended?
No.
It gives you an opportunity to say, yes, I am. And I trusted Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for me back in the year AD 33. And how he was crucified and beaten, his beard was pulled, all those things. How he bled out, hung up on a cross, was buried, and he went to hell for me. And we were circumcised with he was circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Wow. That gives you an opportunity to share with that individual who asks you, just in case they're lost. Because these so-called soul winners, there ain't no such thing. But you hear them all the time in the churches, soul winners. You don't win souls. God giveth the increase. We just plant. Somebody waters. And it's amazing to me how people think they're saved. They've done something somewhere that made them believe they're good enough to please God in the flesh. And you can't please God in the flesh. It's impossible. Now, I want you to go over to Romans 8:1. Hold on to 2 Corinthians somewhere, mark it. Fold your page down. Let me get over it. We've all got a lot of favorite verses, don't we, Tony? I see Dave's was Romans 12:1. One of them. I mean, I know he's got more than one, just like we all do. But this is one of my favorites, just to know this. I'm secure in Christ. Well, how do I know that? Because in Romans 8:1 it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. To walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, I see you in your flesh. But you're not walking. If you're saved, you're not walking after the flesh. You're walking in the Spirit. Why? Because you're in Christ.
Positionally, yep.
Our position is in Christ. Our condition, and I could put right here condition on both sides. In Christ, our position, our condition is horrible. We hurt people. We hurt people's feelings by what we say and what we do. We do a lot of bad things. Thank God that I'm in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you need to thank God every moment that you're alive. It's not about, I'm going to tell you something. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus Christ did for you. Actually, God the Father sent him to do that for you, and he willingly accepted it. When did he accept this? Before he ever came down here. He was in heaven. The Trinity was in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I'll go. I'll die. I love these people. I'll go and die for them. I'll die for all these scumbags. And worse names than that. Oh, that's a light word. But when God was reconciling the world unto himself, And pay special note to this. When this is done like it's supposed to be done, and God will do it, the lion will lay down with the lamb. The child will play with an asp. It's not like that now, is it? No. If you've got Islam as a growing religion, they hate our guts. And if we don't bend toward them, then they're obligated to cut your head off. But that's some kind of a religion. Really, Islam is not a religion. It's a form of government to implement Sharia law. It goes contrary to our United States Constitution. Yet still, we just elected three up to Congress. Now, not enough on that. Back here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? If you're not, you need to trust the gospel. It's not hard. Nobody's going to charge you a dime. It's free.
You said that I can't have that
10%? No 10%. If you're going to start paying, make it 25%. But there's nothing you have to pay. No tithing. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Do you realize when you tell people the Lord loves a cheerful giver, they give more than their 10% if they can? They really do. They're not bound anymore. You give on your own free will. My gosh. No, it's not money. Now, let's come on over here since we know there's therefore no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. And look at this. Let's look in verse 8 of Romans 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, it's saying if you haven't trusted Christ, you're in the flesh. And you can't please God. Your utmost being should be to please God first. If you don't put God first instead of you, you got a problem. You say, well, why is that? Why can't I put me up there first? It goes, God is first. If you'd rather just have your way in this life and wind up in eternal damnation, or would you like to please God? Oh, I'm just thinking, all these things run through my mind. I want to blur it out, but there's a rabbit trail here and a rabbit trail there. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. Did you see that? It's not, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Capital S. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and He dwells in you, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's things you don't want to do anymore, and sometimes you'll do them anyway, but your conscience tells you you should be doing it. You're going to do it. I know you are. I do. It doesn't please God. It's not God pleasing at all. But we do. It's the flesh. It's our condition. It's not our spirit. It has nothing to do with your salvation whatsoever because you're secure in Christ. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, sets up residence and lives within you forever until you're taken out of this world into the rapture, up to be with Jesus Christ and go to the judgment seat of Christ where you will be judged not for sins but according to your works. Wood, hay, stubble. Gold, silver, precious stone. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's the Holy Spirit again, He that raised up Christ from the dead, which is God, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Made alive again, your mortal bodies. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit setting up residence in your body, you are to be led by that. And His teachings and His writings, they are the sons of God. Are you a son of God? I am. You'll know if you're not. Because you know you're going to hell. I so wanted to avoid hell, and nobody could tell me how not to. Not the brother E.C. Moore. I saw him on television. I walked the aisle for Jesus in a Methodist church. I'd done everything, tithe, you name it. I just was a part of the church. I was still locked, doomed, damned, and headed to hell. And I was attending church. It didn't work. Just because you come to church don't mean anything. If you're saved, you come to church to fellowship with fellow believers, because there's none out here. Ask Bob. Bob's from West Pensacola. How many people over there you know? He couldn't find a church over there. There is none that teaches the truth. Watches Les Feldick, and I encourage anybody to watch Les. Tony drives from Niceville to get here because there's not another. So they drive from Crestview. We had a couple last week drove from East Destin, Miramar Beach. I used to drive from Biloxi, Mississippi to Pensacola every Sunday. Why? To hear the Word of God preached. I needed it. I wanted it. I was thirsty for it. I was hungry. I was already saved. Why would I do that? I needed to be fed spiritually. I'm a son of God. The Bible just told me I was. I pray each and every one of you in here and those people listening are a son of God. Ladies, don't be offended when he calls you a son of God. I got to thinking about that. I was going to bed last night. I said, sons of God? Where does it say daughters of God? You're sons of God. Because I got to thinking, you know, all angels are men. There's not a female in there. All cherubim, all seraphim, they're all men.
Get along with each other there. Get along with each other there.
I didn't say that. I did not say that. Now,
I think the biggest problem is having to deal with the ones that are not saved every day, walking around, you know, from jobs and other places and stuff. You just really have to just stop and apply the Word of God. Going to the bathroom, take a moment out of work, because it's just, you know, just like evil all around you. You have to stop, because you just have to. You're not saved, and I keep telling people on your job, I said, you have to let people go. That's why those people are not a Christ. As if you are a Christ, let it go. You know, people do things to you, say things about you, or whatever. You know, we do so much for people. We ask you to leave your high and dry and leave the keys in. And if they walk out, don't say thank you for a job, you know, anything. And they just, you know, they're going about their business, going to another job, all that you've done for them. And yet still, you know, they're just like, I feel some kind of way. I said, what kind of way you feel? I feel betrayed. I feel this. I feel that. I said, yeah. That's how you think Jesus Christ felt. They betrayed him as well. I said, so what about you? You think you're not going to go through the same thing in your life? Get over it.
Just think what Jesus went through
for
you.
What he went through for us.
Yeah.
I said, so...
indescribable.
Yes. Pray for him.
This is his present evil world, and he is, in Galatians 1:4, he says, he is going to deliver us from this present evil world. And what is that? That's the rapture. Us gathering out to meet the Lord in the air, when our vile bodies are going to be changed like into his glorious body. It's going to be a spirit body. A spirit body.
You mean I'm
going to
lose this?
You may lose it. You know what the scripture says in Timothy? You know what it says? Exercise profit to live. Let's go. I want to go over to
1 Timothy 4:8.
Not yet. I want to go back over to Corinthians, where we were at. 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians.
You know, I'm going to just inject this. It has nothing to do with what we're talking. I just got to tell you. I put a post out there. Sylvia, I hope you saw it and showed it to Scott. It was about abortion. And it says, you know, see, it's legal to abort in New York now. If the baby was supposed to be born at 12:05, you can abort that baby at 12:04 and kill it. And they've also passed a measure in New York where if the baby survives the abortion, the doctor does not have to give it medical treatment.
What?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Now, the theory is, I want to show you something, and it's based upon Luke chapter 1, verse 41. The fetus in Elizabeth's womb
6 months age
leaped. The fetus is alive. Whenever it found out that Mary was carrying Jesus, give me chills. Think about that. The fetus leaped in her stomach, her womb, and they're killing her.
And the law says you don't have to be a doctor to do abortion.
No, don't have to be no doctor anymore. And they don't give a permission. Like Dave's a film producer. He wants to, he can perform an abortion in New York. You do not have to be a medical professional or a doctor. I'll just say a doctor. You might be able to be a nurse or something, midwife. But yeah, I'm going to get off of it. But I wanted to tell you about the fetus in Luke 1:41. Just think about that. Now, we all change over time. I remember one time I was okay with abortion. Ms. Scott's talked about this. And others. And then I was on the fence. Then I went back and I went left and right. But I've been on solid ground since about 88. About, it's wrong. It's wrong. Unless the life of the mother. Okay. Enough on that. Back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. He's given to us the word of reconciliation. God has. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You witnessed to anybody lately? You told somebody how to be saved? You ain't got an answer to me. Talk to the Lord. For my feet hit the ground in the middle of the night when I get up to go to the latrine. That's a military term. Bathroom.
You say, Carol.
I say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Yes. Such a disgusting human being in my mind and my actions. You've got to recognize you're no good. If you think you're good, you've got a problem. Too many people think they're good. They want to be looked up by others. I want to be looked at by God and say, a true and faithful servant, as much as I can be. I know I'm never going to make it. But that's what we're coming into, the perfection of one body. We will make it. When is that going to be? At the rapture.
Pretty soon.
And I believe, as Scott just said, it will be pretty soon. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Who died for you? Christ. How come you can't be an ambassador, a good messenger for Christ? As though God did beseech, which means ask you by us, Paul says, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him, God hath made Jesus Christ to be sin for us. God made Jesus to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? Jesus Christ knew no sin, not one sin. Remember, Satan took him out there and said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world.
That's right.
Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Righteousness.
I'm made righteous. You know what Peter says? If you continue to work righteousness. I'm always... Acts 10:35. You've got to work righteousness under the law program. But we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
We don't work for anything. We don't deserve anything. It's a free gift. What did you say in Romans 6:23? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. Oh, you reach out and get it. Now, don't you want to give that gift of the message to someone? You want to build up good favor with the Lord? I'll just say that. You can't work yourself there.
Gold, silver, precious stuff.
But when you share the gospel that you know, don't be ashamed of it.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to suffer, and the Bible tells you, you're going to suffer afflictions when you do. You may lose your job. Now, you've got to know when to do this and when not to. If you're working a job and somebody's paying you, or you're self-employed like Dave and Glenn and somebody else may be, and you're self-employed. If you're working and getting paid, that's the time you owe them. But if the opportunity comes up and somebody says, well, how do you get saved, Dave? He's working. He's working on a priest right now, I guess, or a cardinal. Bishop. He's not pushing it, but he's talking to him. Planting seeds. Goodness gracious, Allah. How about going over to Romans chapter 5? Did you know I was made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, by Him dying for my sins, being buried, going to hell, and being resurrected for my justification? I've been made righteous. What about you? Have you been made righteous?
I mean, a new creation. A new creature.
A new creature in Christ. It's God's righteousness. Dave said it rather well. It's God's righteousness that's placed upon my account when I trust what Jesus Christ did for me. Personally did it for me. Yeah, He did it for you. But it's on you to trust. Verse 19, Romans 5. For as one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Made righteous. Not work for righteousness, but you're made righteous. Nothing you can do about it. Just submit yourselves to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty and live your life free. When you say submit, you normally think, well, I'm a slave or something. No, no, no. It's the love of Christ that constraineth us.
My God.
He's done it all.
Amen.
He's done it all. Well, I got through the first note. Joe, seize the door, brother. We're going to go ahead and cut the broadcast off. Y'all don't leave. I need to tell you something. Would you bow your heads in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we come to you today just thanking you so much for a place to meet, people to preach to, people to be edified, and saints to be saved. It's not saints, but people to be saved. And we just thank you for this place, with the people that are here, and the power of God and the salvation, which is the gospel of the grace of God. We just thank you so much for Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross for us to take all of our sins away. It's left up to us to trust that fact. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.